Praise the Lord. God bless you. Morning, everyone. Good to be with you again. Trust the Lord will just continue to bless us this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing. Every time you get in the pulpit, it's always like the first time. And no matter how many good services you can have, or the Lord can bless the meetings, you come back and it's just like starting again. I never ever get used to it, praise the Lord. But I don't really believe you should. I think God wants a people that are just constantly and totally reliant upon the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're just looking to Him today for His help. I pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning as we just sang that little song there, for God to speak to us. Because if God doesn't speak to us, it really is rather a waste of time. Praise the Lord. So we believe that that God will speak to our hearts this morning. Amen. While we're just standing, we'll just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures to take our reading this morning. Amen. If you've got a need today, and I'm sure you have, why don't you just acknowledge that by an uplifted hand before the Lord today. Amen. May God grant those needs and meet those needs in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you today, Lord, to be able to come to this place. We want to thank you for your goodness and for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for that great faithfulness, Lord. Lord, we just bless thy holy name, Lord. It's good to be in this place, Lord. We pray today that once again we come, we just pray that you'll indeed come down, Lord, that you'll touch everyone in divine presence, Father. Lord, the speaker, the hearers, Lord, let there be such a spirit of unity of the Spirit, Lord, that God, you'll be pleased to move amongst us, work amongst us, Lord. Lord, you just touch your people, you'll speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, hands have been lifted before you today, God. We pray that every knee that's beneath those hands that have gone up, Lord, that you'll look upon them, Father. We don't do it just as a tradition, Father. We do it because our hearts are crying unto you, Father. And so, Lord, meet those needs, Father, whether it be physical or financial or emotional, spirit, whatever those needs are, you know, Lord. And we pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you'll supply those needs, meet those needs, that in the coming days and weeks, maybe there'll be testimonies, Lord, that Lord, of answered prayer, Lord, and needs met, Father. Lord, we're looking to you today, Father, for our help coming from the Lord. Lord, as we open once again the Word of God to speak from the Scriptures, we realize and we are completely aware that humanly speaking, Lord, or we don't have the capacity nor the ability, Lord, to be able to present your Word. We might be able to say and talk and say it, Lord, but it takes the Lord, the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, Lord, to bring forth your word. We realize, Lord, that this book was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And Father, if it was written by men that were moved by the Holy Ghost, it must be preached by men that are moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We're praying today that God, you'll just move us by your Spirit. We pray for that unction, Father, in Jesus' name, that it would go forth, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, Lord, to move upon the hearts of your children, Lord, today. Lord, we want to commit all things to you, Lord. We want to give you thanks, believing, Lord, that you're a God that answers prayer. Knowing, Father, that, Lord, we'll have, Lord, that which we have desired and looked for from you, Father. So, Father, in anticipation, we give you thanks, Lord. Now, as we continue now to wait upon you, Father, we commit all things to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying that in all things your name should be glorified, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, we're standing, I guess, as well. Let's turn to our Bibles. Go with me, please, into the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse 26. Down to the end of that chapter, that's down to verse 33, and we'll also read something from Numbers 14, verse 1 through to verse 9. That's just following on. Praise the Lord. Amen. The message this morning I'd like to share with you for a few moments is the subject of seeing giants. Praise the Lord. Seeing giants. So let's begin reading at verse 26 of Numbers 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and said unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people that be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched under the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we had gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." Notice it said all the people, not just some of the people. He said all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. You know, when you go up against the enemy, remember, everything he's going to come against you is going to be, it's going to look great, it's going to look big, it's going to look powerful. Amen, praise God. Verse 33 it says, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Now in verse 14, let's begin at verse 1 and go down to verse 9. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we died in the wilderness." See, there's that looking back to Egypt again, as we spoke about last night. You can look back to Egypt in the natural, but you can also look back to Egypt. And the far more dangerous thing today, I believe, especially for the people of God, is to be looking back to Egypt in the spiritual sense. Praise the Lord. Remember, God is with his people now. Not just back there, but always, all times. Verse 3. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into the land of Egypt." And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and he will give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Please take your seats, friends. Amen. Now that's quite a reading. And I guess it's been preached on many, many times. But it doesn't really matter how many times you preach from the Word of God or from subjects in the Bible, which I guess are very familiar to us. There's always something new and fresh that we can receive from the Word of God. And even if we know these things, sometimes it's amazing how you can read something and the Holy Spirit can take that thought that you maybe thought you knew, you knew all about that thought, but the Holy Spirit can take it and always just bring something new out to your heart, or give you that word in season. Praise the Lord. It's good for the people of God sometimes to receive a word in season, because it's the word in season that really helps us. It's not so much that we know these things or we have it, we understand these things, but it's just good when the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and just gives you that word in season. Praise the Lord. And I just love the whole word of God. It's a really precious thing. And when you think about it, the great sacrifice that was given in order for you and me to have a Bible. And it's a precious thing, and it's just such a wonderful thing. And to think about it, it's the Word of God. I know today we're living in a time when everything's being questioned, everything's being undermined, but I really believe today that what we have here is the Word of God, the thoughts of God, and the Word of God. And Jesus told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. So when we come to the Bible, it's amazing. I'm just at the moment reading the story of John Wesley. And it just is a real blessing to me. But, you know, sometimes Wesley would go to a certain place and a certain thing would happen, and he would say, "Well, I opened my Bible and read such and such a thing." And you see, when it was just, he took that as God speaking to him. He would just go to the Word of God, and he'd see the Scripture applying to his circumstance or to his situation, and would believe, and he would know that, you know, God was speaking to him. And that's really something that we should be aware of. But when we're opening the Bible, when we're reading the Bible, that's God speaking to us.
Amen.
You know, it's an amazing thing that when you probably have the same experience, that when you open the Bible, then you read the Bible, it's just such a blessing sometimes, that it's speaking directly to your situation, to your circumstance. And so we can set a full confidence and an absolute assurance on the Word of God and put a trust in it. I wouldn't really want to put my trust in anything else. I certainly wouldn't want to put it in a church today, or a man today, or a ministry today. I thank God that God has many, has ministries, but absolutely we come to the ultimate absolute, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
And everything, you know, it's the mark of an organization, the mark of any denomination, is they will always go back to the founder.
Right.
They will never ever go back to, they'll say they'll believe the Bible. They'll say, they'll put forward the Word of God and say, "Oh, it's the Word, we believe the Word." But sometimes you might bring something to that group or that people and challenge them on the Scriptures and say, "Well, how do you see that in the Bible?" And if they haven't got an answer, they will always go back, "Oh, but the founder said such and such a thing. Our leader said such and such a thing." Well, that might be okay, but really for you and me today, the foundation that we should be standing on is the Word of God.
Amen.
I've always said, if we can't prove it by the Scriptures, don't preach it.
Right.
Now you can give an opinion, you can say, "Well, my view on that," and that's fine, I'll respect your opinion, you can respect my opinion, but ultimately, absolutely, if we're preaching anything or telling the people anything, it has got to come from the Bible. It has got to come from the Word of God. It's got to have an act. You see, we can preach today that a man must be born again. That's not to any kind of debate. That's not to any kind of a man's opinion there. The Bible clearly and straightly tells us that you must be born again.
Amen.
But there are certain things that we can maybe have a little difference on there, but really, we see a certain way, and that's okay, but the absolute, ultimate, the final port of call must be the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it's such a blessing to me. I just love the Scriptures. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not just some of it.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, not all interpretation is given by inspiration. Amen. But all Scripture is given by inspiration. What we need to do and need to pray about is, "Lord, give me the inspiration to interpret, or the revelation to understand your Word correctly and aright." Praise the Lord. So we're speaking just for a few minutes on this thought today. Pray that God will speak it to your hearts and it'll be a blessing to the people today. We're speaking on the subject of seeing giants. Notice God here in our subject here was bringing Israel to a place of showdown. And God will always bring it to a final showdown. There can be many claims, we can say many, many things, but sooner or later, and I believe we're living in that day, God is going to bring it to a place where really what is on the hearts of the people. Remember we were speaking last night about the heart, about God touching the heart, praise the Lord. We understand those things and we believe those things. But you see, we can have many, many claims. There can be many things that are said, many things that are put forth, but really God is going to bring it to a place, He's going to bring it to a time where it's really going to be manifest what's on the hearts of the people. Not what we claim now, not what we've said now, but really God's got a way of bringing it to such a showdown there that what's on the heart of the people is going to be manifest.
No.
We're living today, I really believe, in the manifesting time. There's been a sowing time. We realize that and we understand that, but now we've come to a time now that what has been sown is going to be manifest. It's really a law of God. You see, I could show you, I might have some seeds in my hand, they could be all different kinds of seeds. I could tell you whether they were a certain seed. But if I was to put them in the ground and sow them and they were to grow and to ripen and to come to fruition, no matter what I said about those seeds are going to manifest themselves and what they are. You see, fruit really is the seed made manifest. So it's not so much what is claimed now, but it's there'll come a season, there will come a time. See, God's a God of seasons. Hallelujah. God is a God of seasons there. No matter what is sown or what is claimed, you're coming into a season now that it is going to be manifest.
Amen.
It's just the law of God. You can't stop it. It's impossible to happen. Just as it was the sowing time, Now there is going to be a manifesting time. Praise the Lord. And so God here, Israel have been on a great journey there. They've been down in Egypt. God has gone down there. There'll be great signs and wonders and supernatural powers of God manifest there. As we spoke yesterday evening there, that God was bringing Israel out of Egypt. Now there was all kinds of people came out of Egypt, but God had a certain people in mind He was going to put in the promised land. God knew that of all those people that were coming out of Egypt, there was only a certain group going to be going into the land. You see, it wasn't a waste of time with God. You see, God just gives a great call. He knows who's going to be in that multitude. He knows who's going to be in that group. But God, there's a certain people that God knows is going into that land. In fact, most of the people that went into the land probably weren't even born when God was bringing them out of Egypt. It's an amazing thing to think about that, isn't it, there? That God was bringing them out there and to bring them into that land. Like I said last night, there's a reason why God does things. There was a reason why God, at the burning bush, met Moses and spoke to Moses. There was a purpose that God was sending him down there to bring the people out of Egypt and to bring them into the land that He'd promised. It wasn't just to bring them out of Egypt now, but it was to bring them over into that land of promise. Whatever God says He's going to do, you can be certain of one thing, you can rest your souls on it, He's going to do it. Nothing is going to stop it. There is not going to be any circumstance, there is not going to be any situation, there is not going to be any condition that is going to stop what God is saying from coming to pass. Praise the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing to think about it. But I want you to notice here, they've been on the journey there for all this time now, but eventually came to a place where it was going to be manifest what was on the hearts of the people. And if you notice there, all through the wilderness journey, you read through the Bible, especially in the Psalms, it gives us the examples there, that Israel just had a real problem from the beginning all the way through to the end. You saw it down in Egypt, but you saw it all through the wilderness journey. They had the real problem of unbelief. It plagued them all the way through. And unbelief is a really, really horrible thing. You see, because of people, when we get a heart of unbelief, and it's easy to happen, when we get a heart of unbelief, it really, really creates a problem. And all through the journey that God was dealing with Israel, they were seeing signs, they were seeing wonders, they were seeing miracles, they were seeing supernatural powers manifest. But their heart, the Bible tells us their heart wasn't right with God. And so no matter what God did, no matter what God said, they still had this heart of unbelief. And all through their journey there, they had this problem. In fact, if you go and read in the Psalms, many times it speaks about that, but there's a Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 78, it tells us, it gives us a great account and a great example of the problem there with Israel. All through the journey, the Bible it speaks about how they were questioning God. The Bible tells us in that Psalm how they ate angels' food. That great manna that God poured out there. But in their heart, there was unbelief. So it don't really matter how much angels' food you eat, or how many miracles you see, or what you feed on. If in your heart there is an evil heart of unbelief, it is going to keep you out of the promises of God. It doesn't matter what you see, or what you hear, or what you feed on. If there's a, like I was speaking to you last night, God has to touch the hearts of the people. God has to deal with the heart of a man. It doesn't matter what he's saying. For the Bible tells us in that very Psalm 78, it said they flattered him with their lips, but their heart was not right with him. So it really was the problem with Israel all the way through the journey. And we see so much of this today in the church. It was a heart problem. So if God really, if anything's going to be done in the church, if anything's going to be done in your life or my life, God has really got to deal with our heart. And we realize that when a man's born again of the Spirit of God, he's given a new heart. But Satan will always try to attack that. He'll try to undermine that. He'll try to come against it there. So we really need to keep our hearts before God quickened and alive. And God just say, Lord, I want you to touch my heart. I want you to give me a soft heart, a tender heart. I don't want to get a callous heart against the things of God. You know, it tells us also in Hebrews there that it speaks about the heart. Now, Paul's speaking to believers. He's speaking to Holy Ghost-filled believers. But he gave a warning to the church there. He said, lest man's heart becomes hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We get to a place where we think, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. Oh, it most certainly can happen to us. We have to guard against those things. We have to watch against those things. Because a hard heart is an unbelieving heart. God help us now. Praise the Lord. I'm back on last night's subject. Let me get to where we're speaking now. So they come on the journey and see the great miracles of God. They see the great signs. They see the great wonders and the great things that God had done. And he's now bringing them to a place where he's about to take the people over. But let me just go back a little bit on something. Notice there, when before they go into possess the land, God tells Moses, I want you to send some spies into the land to spy out the land, to bring back a report. Notice the scripture here. Let's just go back a little bit on ourselves. Numbers 13, but notice in verse 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send now men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler of them. Now watch verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now think about it. Moses sent those 12 spies to go into the land. Do you think that God didn't know that 10 of those men were going to come back with a negative report? Do you think that God did not know that 10 of those people were going to come back and say, we're not able to go in? Well, sure we knew it. So then why did God send those 10 men? I'm looking at this, I've never seen it before, but I really believe that God showed me something about this. Those 10 men were the judgment of God on the unbelief of Israel. Those 10 men that God told Moses to send into the land of Israel to search that land were the judgment of God on the unbelief of Israel. You see, those people had murmured, they complained, they disbelieved God, they questioned God all through the journey. They said, well, how's God going to be able to help us? How's he going to furnish a table for us in the wilderness? How can he meet our needs? How can he supply our needs? And God constantly came down. He met the needs. He supplied the needs. He provided for them. He supernaturally undertook for them. But still in the heart of Israel was an unbelieving heart. So God at the end of it said, okay, you want to disbelieve my promise, you want to disbelieve my word, I'm going to give you a group of leaders there that are going to make sure you don't go in and possess the promise. I'm going to send a group of men that will make sure that will bring judgment on the unbelieving hearts of the people of Israel. See, unbelief is a really dangerous thing. Unbelief is a serious thing. Now God had two there. Notice the ratio. 10 came back with a negative report, but God always had a little minority that came back with a true report.
Amen.
You see, God is always going to have somebody, somewhere, bearing witness of the truth.
Amen.
No matter how the conditions are, doesn't matter how bad things are, God will always have a remnant there that will bear witness of the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
God's always. But notice the ratio. It was 10 to 2. Predominantly, and most of those people there were coming back bringing a negative report. Just Joshua and Caleb were bringing a true report. We see this even in the days, days of King Ahab. The God was about to bring judgment on Ahab. Notice the ratio there again. 400 prophets prophesying and telling Ahab to go up to the land there to possess it. Now fundamentally it was correct. They were right. It was that it belonged to them. But because of sin, because of disbelief, they were under the judgment of God. Because of the things that Ahab had done, he was under the judgment of God. So God gave them a bunch of prophets that told him just what he wanted to hear. When you hear people preaching and telling you just what you want to hear, watch out. When you hear people telling you just what you want to hear to make you feel comfortable and just kind of make you cozy in your system and your organization, be careful. You're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe have the discernment of the Spirit to watch that. Because that ratio is always, it's always wrong. But God had one man that was telling the truth. But the ratio was greater the other way as to the one that was telling the truth. Now think about that. You see, but one man there was telling the truth. In fact, when Micah came before Ahab there, he told him just exactly the same things they told him. He said, oh sure, go up. Go and do it. In other words, hey, you want to hear that? I'll tell you that. That's what you want to receive? That's what I'll give you. But Ahab knew he must have been being sarcastic, because Ahab knew that it wasn't really the truth. You see, the thing with unbelief, the thing with sin, is really, no matter what a front it puts on, no matter what it says, it knows in its heart it's not right.
Amen.
It knows deep down, you don't have to the preacher tell you, you don't have to the minister tell you, or the pastor tell you. If you're not right with God, you know in your heart.
Amen.
You there's something in your heart that now you can either harden up to that and get so callous over that eventually you cease to hear the warning of God and the drawing of the Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and it just becomes it's passed from you. If it ever gets to a place like that, then God have mercy. But you see, if you're a child of God and the Spirit of God is in your heart, there's a little voice telling you something's wrong. You need to put that right. You need to do this. May we never harden up to the voice of the Spirit. But that's what's happening here. You see, they complain, they disbelieve. So God said, all right, I'm going to give you a bunch of preachers that will make sure you don't go in. I'll give you a bunch of men that will tell you just what you want to hear. They'll tell you, are you the people of God? How you came out of Egypt? How God is with you? They'll tell you. But they cannot take you into the promise. They won't be able to take you into the promised land. Hallelujah. In fact, if we notice there in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Numbers, it tells us in verse, as we read that, Numbers 14, notice verse 4, it says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Whenever the people make a captain, whenever the people take a leader, the only place that leader is going to take you is back to Egypt. Whenever people take men for their leadership, leader, in place of the Holy Ghost, the only place they're going is back to Egypt. I don't care how great the captain is, how great the leader is, the only thing he can do is take you back to Egypt. God was leading the people by a pillar of fire, by His Holy Spirit, to take them into the land. You see, it's the Holy Ghost that takes you into the land. It wasn't Moses. He might have been the vessel God used, but really, Moses had to be following the leadership of the Spirit, just the same as Israel had to be following the leadership of the Spirit there. But when man makes a captain, the only place you can be sure of one thing, it might look good, it might sound good, it might appear good, but the only place you're going is back to Egypt. Because that's the only thing the natural knows about. Praise be to God. Like I was talking to you last night about the humanly looking back to Egypt in the natural. But think about going back to Egypt in the spiritual. You can only go, there's only one place you can go. There's only one place you can be directed to. And that's back to Egypt. That's why man can always point back to the good old days. He'll always point forward to what's coming. But he'll never tell you that very God that's going to be coming, that was with you, is right here now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, Satan don't mind how far you look down the road. He don't mind how far you look back.
Amen.
But he doesn't want you to stop and recognize.
That's right.
God's with you now.
Amen.
Why? Because if you can do that, he's rock you. He's rocked you. He's got you looking everywhere the way he should be looking. The Bible says, Paul spoke, he says, Christ in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory. Not down the road. Now praise the Lord, we'll meet him down the road by God's grace. We can look back and see what he's done by God's grace, and we can be encouraged by that. But hallelujah, we need to recognize it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if Brother Anna preached exactly what Paul preached, that's what he was preaching.
Amen.
Because that was Paul's ministry. That was Paul's message. He said, there's a dispensation of the gospel that's been committed to me. Hallelujah. And that was his message. Christ in you. That's why when he went to the church, when he went to those assemblies, his whole desire, his whole unction, his whole conviction was to get the people to recognize who they were in Christ.
Amen.
To get the people to see who they were in Christ. That's the great problem. You know, Brother Branham made a statement, he said, when the church knows what it is, not what it was, not what it's going to be, but when it knows what it is. When the people of God begin to shake themselves. You know, Paul spoke in Ephesians, he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Who's he talking to? He's talking to spiritual believers. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, there needs to be a shaking time in the church.
Amen.
There needs to be a shaking time in your life. There needs to be a shaking time in my life. Oh God, wake your people up, Lord. You know, Samson one day went out and shook, but it was too late. Oh, I want to shake while it's still time.
Yes.
I want to move while it's still time.
Amen.
I want to shake when the Holy Ghost is there. I want to move when the Holy Ghost is there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. There's a time coming. There's a time coming. And the people are going to shake. It's going to be too late. When the people are going to move, it's going to be too late. God help us not to be there. God help us to just be in God's season, in God's time. To move by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But whenever men make a captain, whenever the people, and it's just human nature to do that. It's just human nature to have a leader. It's just human nature to follow man. But when you do, you can even take truth. But if you make that truth your leader, instead of what it's pointing you to, there's only one place you're going. It's back to Egypt. It's back to bondage.
Yes, amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But I want you to notice something here. If you take our little subject, there's two testimonies. Now everybody's got a testimony. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I like that scripture. One thing every true child of God has got is a testimony. One thing that every true born-again son or daughter of God has been given is a testimony. You can see when you pass from death to life. Hallelujah. You know, when they came out of the river Jordan there with Joshua leading them, God said, I want you to take a pile of stones, Joshua, put them in the river. He said, but I want you to get another 12 stones and take them out of the river. In other words, the Holy Ghost identifies you in crossing over. You can look back to the time, you can look back to the place, you can look back to the day that you met with God, that He brought you over, that you can look back to a testimony. God said, don't Joshua, He said, you put a heap of rocks there, but when your children,
yes,
hallelujah, when your children ask you how to get in the sand, you got something you can look back to.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You got something you can look back to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Trouble of it is today, there's too many people with a religion. They can point you back to a church. They can point you back to a group. They can point you back to a movement. But you've got to be able to point back to a time when you met Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you met that living God.
Amen.
That you could say with Paul, I know Him, I believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm persuaded that He's able.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be. One thing a child of God's got is a testimony. Now you might say, well, that brother's testimony, that sister's testimony is a great testimony. Mine's not such. It doesn't matter what your testimony is. God gave you that testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God gave you that testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
By the word of their testimony. Oh, what it is, what a throne it's going to be. There's going to be some testimonies on that day.
Amen.
That's going to be the greatest testimony of all time. When the blood-washed saints testify to the delivering power of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be at that testimony meeting. I'll just be happy to sit back and hear those testimonies. Hear the testimonies of the martyrs and those who were persecuted and those that suffered. How God brought them over. Hallelujah. How they got the victory over the beasts and over His image. Oh, hallelujah. What a day it's going to be. Hallelujah. But every child of God has got a testimony. But I want you to notice that when God, now both ministries, both the 10 spies there and both Joshua, they both had a testimony. But one was a testimony of unbelief. One was a testimony of faith. Now I'm preaching to you about seeing giants. Amen. Think about that as we preach along now. Seeing giants. So now both those testimonies are correct testimonies. Notice when those 10 spies came back, we look at verse 27. Here's the 10 coming back there. They said, they told him and said, now when they came back, notice, excuse me a moment, when they came back there, they brought back the evidence of that land, exactly what Moses said was there. Now if there had been no fruit, then Moses was a false prophet. If there's no evidence of what Moses has talked about, all Moses has had is a claim of what he said. They've got a right to doubt it. They've got a right to question it because you said, well, Moses, God said to you, you told us that you were bringing us to a land that's flowing with milk and with honey. So there had to be an evidence, there had to be a vindication of what God told Moses in the burning bush was there. If there's no but you haven't got a message. Praise the Lord. So they come back there, and they come back exactly. In other words, Moses, what God told you in that burning bush. See, it wasn't the signs and the wonders. That wasn't the evidence. That was God communicating Moses. The evidence is the land. Not the signs and the wonders. Moses could have had all those signs and wonders, all the vindication there was. But if there's no evidence, the message is wrong. There's got to be an evidence, friends. There's got to be fruit. There's got to be, what that message says has got to be there. If we have a message saying we're being turned back to the faith of the fathers, it's got to be there. I don't care how much nonsense there is, how much crazy stuff there is. If we have a promise, if we turn back to the faith of the fathers, then it's got to be there. There's got to be a Pentecostal thing.
Amen.
There's got to be a God that lives in His church. Hallelujah. If it's not there, we've got to write without it. But hallelujah, I believe it is there.
Amen.
I believe the promises to you, to your children, to as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Right.
Hallelujah. But notice in verse 27, it says, they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. And surely, notice, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. In other words, Moses, what you said is the truth. We can't dispute it. We can't debate it. We can't argue about it. We can't fuss about it. Exactly what you said, Moses, it's there. Now that should have been their testimony, and that testimony should have stopped right there. Because that's all God said. But notice what they did. He said, it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. In other words, just what you said is the truth. It's there. Now, if they had stopped there, it would have been all right. But they went on to say, notice verse 28, nevertheless, whenever you start to take God's word and try and put a question mark to it, whenever you try to figure it out, what you're seeing or what you're feeling or what you're hearing, you are going to be in trouble. Nevertheless, the people of the be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. You know, that should have been a vindication. That shouldn't have been created unbelief. That should have created faith. What they were seeing should have created, here it is, what they were seeing should have created faith. But if your heart's not right with God, what you're seeing is not going to create faith. It's just going to produce unbelief. Oh God, what you're seeing, if your heart's not right, you can see truth till the cows come home. But if your heart's not right, all it's going to produce is unbelief. The promise will be right, the word will be right, what God spoke to that prophet is going to be right. But if your heart's not right, all it's going to produce is unbelief. All you're going to do, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, you're just going to come along and say, well, nevertheless. Those giants being there, praise God, should have produced faith. Why? Because that's exactly what God said was going to be there. Amen. That's exactly what God said is going to be there. When they saw those giants, they shouldn't have ran. They should have said, praise God, your word's true. But it produced unbelief because their heart wasn't right. They said, we've seen them giants there. Well, that's exactly what God said would be there. They should have been expecting that. God told them they were going to be there. But they said, notice, the testimony is correct. The testimony is correct.
Yes.
But what they did with the testimony, the report was correct. But what they did with the report, Bible says, who's believed our report? And unto whom the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, there's a believing of the report, but there's also a revealing of the arm of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, if the arm of the Lord's not been revealed, you can believe the report, but it's not going to help you. But when the arm of the Lord's revealed, hallelujah. What's the arm of the Lord? It's the power of the Lord.
Amen.
It's the power of God. Like we spoke last night about redemption. They were brought out by a mighty arm. Hallelujah. But you can believe the report. But until the arm of God's been revealed, until the power of God has been revealed, it's not going to help you. You can only grow, as Isaiah said, he shall grow as a tender plant. But if there's no revelation, there's no growth. If there's no revealing, there's no growth. You can't grow. That's the problem today. Many people believe the report, but has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Many people believe the report. All they say is the truth. They won't argue with it. They'll say amen to it. But has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Hallelujah. Because until there's a revealing of the arm of the Lord, there is no growth. Praise the Lord. So they came back with a report and they said, you know, notice. What? Now let's look at the other testimony. Now that's the 10 spies. That's their testimony. That testimony is correct. But it's a testimony of unbelief. It's how you confess the Word of God. It's how you profess the Word of God. A right heart confesses the Word of God correctly. A wrong heart will confess the Word of God in unbelief. But it's still confessing the Word of God. But it's how you understand what I'm saying to you. It's how you approach it. It's what you do with it. See, God puts the ball in your court. The problem of it is we're trying to put it in everybody else's court. God speaks to your heart. God deals with your heart. Hallelujah. Don't rely on the preacher. Don't rely on the pastor. What God is doing with your heart. Hallelujah. Because when your heart's right, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. Now only the Holy Ghost could do that. Only God could do that. Hallelujah. But God had touched all their hearts. Oh God, touch our heart today.
Amen.
By your Spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Not by some intellectual conception. Not by just going to church, but God, touch our hearts. Might be fundamental stuff, but until the heart's right, we're going nowhere. Until the heart's right, we're not going over. We're not crossing over. We're not possessing anything. But Joshua and Caleb, it tells us, go over 14 verse 6, and Joshua, now after they heard all this unbelief, and what did unbelief do? It caused the hearts of the people to fail. They got scared, and unbelief will always produce fear. Unbelief will always just sow that spirit. When you see spirit, the spirit of fear amongst the people, I guarantee you behind it, there's a spirit of unbelief. There's a spirit of disobedience. There's a spirit of unbelief. Amen. Tells us in verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land and rent their clothes. They got a bit of Holy Ghost indignation. Hallelujah. That's what the church needs today, is a bit of old-fashioned Holy Ghost indignation. A bit of old-fashioned Holy Ghost stirring.
Yes. Amen.
Not just to accept it and say, well, that's the day we're living in, that's the condition we're living in, without to put up with it. We don't have to put up with anything.
Amen.
There's a promise.
Amen.
That God has given.
Amen.
The only thing God is interested in your life and my life is we take Him at His word and we go in and possess the promise. You say, well, I've only been a Christian just such a short while. That don't have one thing to do with it. God speaks to your heart. Take Him at His word.
Amen.
You might have been in the way many, many years. Maybe the heart's grown callous. Maybe it's got hard. Maybe it's become indifferent. Maybe it's been taken up with the things of the world. But if God ever deals and touches your heart, you can go over. Hallelujah. You can possess the promise.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 7, they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Well, that's the same testimony as a little bunch. Both testimonies are correct. The testimonies aren't wrong. What they're saying is correct. But now, what's the difference? Verse 8, it says, if the Lord, they didn't say nevertheless. Notice what they said. If the Lord delights in us, He'll bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against your Lord. Rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. Notice what they said. For their bread for us. Hallelujah. They weren't talking about giants. They were talking about bread. Hallelujah. Here it is. They weren't looking at giants. They were looking at bread. I want to ask you a question. What do you do with bread? You eat it. Amen. You eat it, why? To grow and to get strong. You eat bread to... Oh, hallelujah! I said something there.
Amen.
Glory Hallelujah!
Amen!
Oh, bless. You needed to get strong. They were just sitting empty there. They said, you know what? That's just God's left them there for us so we can eat it and get strong. So that we can have these victories and we can grow. When the devil comes to your life, to your home, to your family, to your church, faith will see an enemy. Unbelief will see a giant. Faith will see bread. Something you can eat.
Amen.
Something you can have victory over. Something you can grow by.
Amen. That's right.
Glory. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the stirring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory. See, we can see it. We can grow. Joshua said, it's bread. Them big giants there. They just big loaves of bread. Hallelujah. We can grow. We can get strong. See, one testimony was faith. The other testimony was unbelief. But both confessing the word. Both. They ain't saying the words wrong. They're saying the words right. But one's unbelief. You see, unbelief will always see giants. Unbelief will always see giants. Faith will just see an enemy. Oh, there's a big difference. What are you seeing today, church? What are you seeing, my brother, my sister? Do you see a giant or do you see an enemy? Hallelujah. What are you looking at today? Are you facing a giant or are you facing an enemy? Are you facing bread? Well, then use it to grow. Use it to get strong. Now notice, they didn't say he's not there. Joshua and Caleb, now watch. Joshua and Caleb didn't come back and say, you know what? Oh, I deny its existence. I deny it's there. They didn't say that. That's the problem today. Sickness comes to people. Problems come to people's life. And you say, you know what? I deny it. I don't exist. Sure, it's there. If you're sick, you're sick. If you got a problem, you got a problem. Don't make up it's not there. It is there. But how do you see it? Do you see a giant or do you see bread? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes, you know, sickness comes and you say, well, I'm going to deny it. Don't do that. See it. But see it as bread. See it as a defeated enemy. There's a problem in your home, don't deny it. It's there. But it's bread. Glory!
Amen.
It's bread. You can either use it to grow and get strong by, or you can learn. You can either see a giant or you can see a bread. You can either see a giant or you can see an enemy. Sickness is there. That devil of cancer is there. That devil of cancer is there. But he's not a giant. He's not a giant.
Amen.
He's a defeated enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Depression's there. In your home, in your mind. Sure it's there. But he's not a giant. Don't look at a giant. He's a defeated enemy.
Amen.
Fear is there in your mind. Sure it's there. So I'm good. It's there. It's there. But don't look at a giant. Look at a defeated enemy.
Amen.
Look at, he's bread for you.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
God sends that enemy there. You can have victory over it. When you get the victory over it, what happens to you? You get strong.
Yes.
You grow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he was certainly there, but he was defeated. They said, sure the giants are there. Sure the Anakims are there. Sure the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and whatever Israelites are all. They're there. But they're defeated. They're beaten. They're bread for us. The trouble of it is today, friends, the church is seeing giants. That's the truth. We're seeing giants today where we should just be seeing an enemy. We're seeing giants today where we should be seeing an enemy. The devil will tell you there's no way through this, there's no way over this, there's no way around this. He's just bread. He's just an enemy. He's not a giant. He was whipped on that cross. He was destroyed at Calvary.
Well,
The Bible said Jesus Christ made an open show of him. In other words, he was completely humiliated, stripped, and beaten.
Yes.
Amen.
But he can still roar. He can still look big. He can still sound big. But he's beaten.
Amen.
He's beaten. It's a secret he doesn't want you to know about. But he's destroyed. He's not a giant anymore. He's an enemy. Oh, he's there. But he's an enemy. He's bread. He's the food. It's over. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. Notice it tells us in verse 32. Speaking about those spots. Notice what Joshua said back in verse 9. Look what he said. Don't rebel. Don't rebel. Where's rebellion start? In the heart. The Bible tells us rebellion is what? As the sin of witchcraft. That's why Saul didn't rebel against the commandment of God. And Samuel said, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Notice Saul. Eventually what was in Saul's heart was manifest. A little bit down the way, a few years later, what does he do? Go to the witch of Endor. Why? Because rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Like I said, it's manifest in time. It's manifest in time. So that rebellion that was in Saul's heart eventually manifests itself in going to a witch. Samuel said it's a sin of witchcraft. It manifested itself. Saul goes to the witch of Endor. Oh God, don't rebel in the heart. That was Israel's problem. It tells us that he rebelled against God, against his word all through that journey. It didn't matter what God did, it didn't matter what God said. They rebelled against God. And they weren't going over. Joshua said, don't rebel. Don't rebel against the Lord. See, when you rebel against the promise of God, you're rebelling against God that gave the promise. But they rebelled. Tells us in verse 32, go back 13, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched under the children of Israel. Notice, they unbelief. Hear this, unbelief will always bring up an evil report of the land. Unbelief will always bring up an evil report of the promise. It will always take that promise and make the promise of none effect. Jesus spoke about those Pharisees. He said, you're making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. Unbelief will always take the word of God and make it powerless. The Bible says they brought up, now they brought up an evil report of the what? Of the land. Of the very thing God was bringing them into.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. The Bible does not tell us they brought up an evil report about Moses. It doesn't say they came back and said, Moses, you're a false prophet. What you preached is not the truth. They couldn't do that because of the evidence was there. The fruit was there. There's no way they could say, Moses, you're a false prophet. It's not there. It was there. But that wasn't the problem. They didn't bring a false report about Moses. They didn't bring an evil report about Moses. They said, Moses, you're a prophet. Your word is correct. What you said is the truth. But you know what? We're not able to go over. They brought up an evil report about the land. And that's the same thing today. It's not bringing up an evil report about Moses. The evil reports about the land. The evil reports about the promise. The evil reports about the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
There's your problem. Oh, we've got to a place now where it's nothing more than just an intellectual conception. That's an evil report.
That's right.
We've got to a place now, oh well, as long as you believe the message, you've got it. That's an evil report.
Yes, amen.
There's a God of His Word. Hallelujah!
Amen. Amen.
What He said in His Word, He means forever.
Amen.
They won't question Moses, no, certainly. But they'll question the land. They'll question that land. They'll question that promise. They'll undermine the promise. They'll put it away from you. But it's just, we can go over. We're the people, we're the children of God. Like we were speaking last night about that little remnant, we can go in. We can possess the land. It's ours.
Amen.
Oh, you said there's a devil there. I've got this in my home. I've got this in my life. I've got this in my family. It's bread for you, my brother. It's bread for you.
Amen.
It's not a giant anymore.
Amen.
You might be a grasshopper, but it ain't about you. It's not about me. It's about the God that gave that promise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's about the one that said, now, God said, I'm come down to bring them in. I wasn't Moses. He said, I'll use you, Moses. I'll use your mouth. I'll use your voice. I'll use that stick you got in your hand. But I'm the one that's coming down to bring them in. And the thing that's bringing the church in today, the thing that's leading the church today, the thing that's keeping the church today, fell 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. God sent the Holy Ghost. He sent His Spirit to the church. That's what's going to keep you. That's what's going to lead you. That's what's going to guide you. That's what's going to bring you over.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But unbelief will just see giants. Oh, sure it's real. You say it's so real. I don't doubt it. Sure it's real. Sure it's there. But it's an enemy, not a giant. It's bread for you. You can grow on it. You can get strong by it. Hallelujah. That's why God had them there. Tell the children of Israel, Israel, I want you to know the same power that brought you out, the same power that's taking you in. If I could bring you from the bondage of Pharaoh, from the great powers of Egypt, surely I can take you into the land of Canaan. If I can defeat Pharaoh, surely I can defeat the Canaanites.
Amen.
If I can defeat the Egyptians, I can defeat the Jebusites, the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Anakins, I don't care what it is. If I can bring you out of there, I can bring you. If God could bring you out, oh God.
Amen.
Bring you out. Can't He take you in?
Yes, amen.
If God can save your soul, can't He give you the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Can't He bring you into the land of promise? We've had too many evil reports.
Yes, amen.
We've had too many evil reports. Oh God, I have a remnant somewhere. I have somebody somewhere that can say we're more than able. God has somebody somewhere. They might be in the minority. There won't be too many of them. But God's going to have somebody somewhere that we're more than conquerors. We're more than able. Hallelujah. Because they ain't going to be taken up with the Anakims or the whatever they are, else is there. They're going to be looking at a cross. And when you're preaching from the cross, when you're preaching from the cross of Jesus Christ, every enemy that comes is a defeated enemy.
Amen.
Every opposition that comes is defeated opposition. Outside of the cross, that's a different story. But through the cross, no wonder Paul said the preaching of the cross is the power of God
for
us which are saved. Some people think the preaching of the cross is we get saved and we forget about it. That great apostle all those years in his ministry, the great visions, the signs, the wonders and miracles he'd seen, could take the word of God and inspiration of the Holy Ghost and light it all out there. But he could say, the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Amen.
For us, which is saved. Now he included himself.
Yeah.
Say, wait a minute, boy, you got caught to the third heaven, you had all those great experiences there. That wasn't what with Paul it was about the cross.
Amen.
Paul in Galatians, he said, God forbid that I should glory,
yes,
save in the cross of Christ.
Amen.
By whom look, I'm crucified to the world, and look, the world's crucified to me. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless their bread for us, said Joshua and Caleb. But unbelief, we only see giants. See, unbelief's always taken up. Unbelief is always taken up with this. Unbelief, it's always about what we can do or what we can't do. Faith's not looking at this. Faith's looking at this.
Amen.
Faith's looking at what God said.
Right.
Unbelief is looking at what we can do. Now you can dress unbelief up in pretty little religious robes. You can make it look right. You can make it talk right. You can make it do all those kind of things. But an unbelief is unbelief.
Right.
Why? Because the heart's the problem. Oh, praise the Lord. I came into the message. What has that got to do with it? When did you come to Christ?
Amen.
When did you meet that one that saved you, sealed you, brought you in, and gave you a testimony?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But if there's no blood of the Lamb, there ain't no testimony.
Right.
Only thing that gives you a testimony is the blood. The blood's not there. There's no, you cannot have a testimony without the blood.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Back in the days of Israel. Now remember that giant. Satan's always sent the giants. And he always will send the giants. Back in the days of Saul, there was a giant rose up to defy the armies of the living God. Notice who he's defying. And in doing that, he's defying God. He's defying the word of God. He's defying the promises of God. But God had somebody somewhere. Hallelujah. Now there was a great battle set. Saul with all his army, with all his great warriors and so forth. But there was one missing. There was one missing that should have been there. There was one that had an anointing. Hallelujah. There was one that had the Holy Ghost on him. Hallelujah. But he wasn't in the army. He wasn't with Saul. He was back in the desert looking after his father-in-law's sheep. His father's sheep. But the Spirit of God was with him.
Amen.
But there was a giant coming to defy Israel. And the devil will always defy the church of Jesus Christ. That's one thing he will do right from the beginning. He'll do it right till the very last breath. Right till the church is raptured out of here. He will defy the church of Jesus Christ. Notice, that great giant came down to fight the armies of Israel. Said, we want to have a battle. Let's just somebody come out. Let's just sort this out there. But if I beat him, you've got to be up. You've got to follow us. You've got to do what we tell you. You've got to be under us. The devil defies the church. Why? So he can get you to be under him. So he can be in control. That's what he did with Jesus there. He said, you know, I'll give you all these sins if you fall down and worship me. You can have all the world. You can have this, you can have that, you can have everything. But you know what? I'm in control. That's the devil's purpose. That's his objective. But he can control the church. What's the Bible tell us in Thessalonians? That he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Showing himself that he's in control. But God had a little boy there by the name of David. One time, you know, when they wanted a king, Saul had been rejected there. God sent Prophet Samuel down to the house of Jesse. He said, you know what, there's one of them boys there, I want you to anoint the king. First boy came up for Eliab, a big strong fellow, big strapping guy. Looked at Samuel said, see, intellect, intelligence. Prophets are subject to it just the same as you and me. Well, surely the Lord's anointed standing before me. God said, that's not him, I rejected it. So they all passed before David. And you know what? David wasn't. Oh, hallelujah. David wasn't even with them.
That's right.
David wasn't even there. Samuel said, there's something wrong here. God, you sent me down to the house. And have I these 11 boys passed before me? Not one of them. You haven't brought one of them. He said, Jesse, have you got any more? He said, well, I've got one of the boys out there feeding the sheep. He said, you go and bring him in. The Bible tells us that David came in before Samuel. God said, rise and anoint this is he. Oh, I like that. This is he!
Amen.
Samuel took that anointing oil, poured it over his head. And the Bible says from that day and forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon
me. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. See, God knows what it took to keep Israel safe. God knows what it takes to keep his people safe. That's why he sent the Spirit. God knows what it takes to keep the church safe. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Spirit of the Lord. But you know what? When that enemy came to defy Israel, David wasn't even there. And look how he came. An anointed king, an anointed man of God. Saul didn't say, you know what? Why don't you send up there for Jesse's son? We need him now. Even his own brothers that were there, he saw the Spirit poured on him. Or the oil poured on him. And saw that God had recognized him as king. Even they didn't want him. They didn't even say, well, you know what, Saul? Our little brother there back there, the Spirit of the Lord's with him. No. Look how he came. He wasn't asked for. He wasn't called for. He was sent. He was sent by the Father.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wasn't asked for, he wasn't looked for. Why? Because men loved God, the struggle of life.
Yes.
But God sent him.
Amen.
God sent him. Hallelujah. Holy, you know, the anointed I never asked for. The anointed are never called for. The anointed are always sent. Hallelujah! The anointed are always sent. Jesus said, I'll send you prophets and righteous men. I'll send them. They won't come out of some your groups, your seminars, or whatever it is. I'll send them. He said, you know what you're going to do with them? You'll persecute them, you'll stone them, you'll persecute them, you'll kill them. But I'll send them. Any ministry that's of God is sent.
Amen.
Any ministry that's of God is sent. They weren't asking for David, they weren't even looking for David. And things haven't changed anything this day.
Amen.
The church isn't looking for anointed, the anointing of God. The vast majority of the church is not the Spirit of God. It can do well on its own, thanks very much. Well, for a while it can, but you know what? Sometimes there's going to be a Goliath stand up. One day there's going to be a giant stand up to defy Church of Jesus Christ, and he's doing it today. But I don't see a giant, I see an enemy. David come down, and you see that. He came as a little messenger boy. He came as a little messenger boy. Go take the bait now to your brothers. Take them some bread, some cheese, and some wine. Go and feed them. That's how he came. That's how he came. Why? Because he was sent. By God. He come into the camp there and that giant came out. He just bragged one time too many. Now you can brag in front of religious unbelief. And you can brag till morning, till night, nobody's going to do a thing about you. They're going to run. They're going to stand there and reason and say, you know what, we better leave that alone. You brag one time against the Spirit of God, you're in trouble.
Amen. Amen.
You defy the Spirit of God. One day you're in trouble. That Goliath came out, he just shouted off one time too many. Hallelujah. David says, who's this? And his own brother, Eliab. His own brother that was there when the Spirit came on him. That recognized the anointing of God. You see the problem of it is today, friends, there's no discerning the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
There's no recognizing the Holy Spirit. It's about talent, it's about ability. It's about what group we belong to, how we can present ourselves. But where is the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
God help us!
Yeah.
David said, well, who's this? Now they look, Israel saw a giant. Israel saw a giant. Notice what David said. Who's this that's defying the armies of the living God? He wasn't looking at a giant, he was looking at the enemy defying the people of Israel. See, the Spirit of God doesn't see giants, it sees an enemy. The anointing doesn't see a giant, it just sees something defying the church. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. David said, I'll go against him. Why? Because the Spirit of God's with him. I said, well, better take your sword. Got him down there, saw him, he said, we're going to run the boat. You're just a skinny little kid. How are you going to do it? He's a man of war since his youth. Oh, that devil's been in the business a long, long time.
Yes.
That devil's been around a long, long time. He knows how to do his job. But when the Spirit of God's with the Church of God, I don't care how good the devil is, I don't care how accomplished he is, I probably he's like a sign. The Church of Jesus Christ are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. David said, I'll go against him. Saul said, you want to go against him? All right, son. Here's what we're going to do. Here, you take my helmet. You take my shield. You take my breastplate. You take my armor. Now, it's the best armor we've got. It's the lightest armor we've got. It's the state-of-the-art armor. There's nothing like it in all Israel. It was made for me. I'm the king of Israel. It's the best armor you could ever have. It's nice and light. You've got a sword there, a shield. It's the best we got we could give you. Here's a question. If Saul didn't want to go and face Goliath with his armor,
Then why is he trying to give it to David? If he didn't help Saul, why give it to David? If Saul couldn't face Goliath with it, then why give it to David? It reminds me of a lot of dead religion we got today.
Yeah.
A lot of dead systems we got today. Well, if they can't defeat the enemy, don't you give it to me.
Yeah.
If they can't stand against that giant, I don't want it. Hallelujah. If it can't defeat Goliath, I don't want it. I don't need it. Praise the Lord. David said, I can't go in this. I can't use this. But you know what? There's something about the anointing. There's something about the Spirit of God. God was training David back in the desert.
That's right.
David knew that anointing. He knew how it worked. He knew what it would do. He said, you know what? It beat a bear. Hallelujah. It beat a lion. Well, if it can beat a bear, it can beat a lion. It will take care of the lion.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hold on, where he took care of the bear, it took care of the lion. The one that delivered me out of the paw of the bear, the mouth of the lion, the same one can deliver me out of the mouth, out of the hand of that giant there. That's defying Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Israel saw a giant. Saul saw a giant. David saw an enemy. What are you seeing in the church? What are you seeing in your home? What are you seeing in your life? You say, oh, there's no way I can face it. There's no way I can deal with it. Oh, it's so real. Sure, it's real. It's there. But it's bread. It's not a giant. It's an enemy defying the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Back in the days of Samson, God raised him up. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord. I love that scripture. The Spirit of the Lord began to move at times. Oh, hallelujah. God, let your Spirit move your church. Lord, let your Spirit move your church. The Spirit of the Lord began to move at times. Israel, there's a great big giant called the Philistines. They had Israel just where they wanted them. Oh, they could have church, they could talk about the good old days, they could talk about how God had brought them out through Moses and back into the land and all the things that God had done. That was okay to Israel. The Philistines said, you can do that. But God had a man there. Hallelujah. God had somebody somewhere, stirred by the Spirit of God, moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's such a sad thing to me to think that his own brethren said, you know what, Samson? We kind of got used to this. We kind of got used to living this way. I wonder today, church, have we got used to living in these conditions we're in? Have we got used to the days we're living in and the circumstances we're living in? And so it's okay. We just learn to adapt. You know what, Samson? You're causing too much trouble. While you were down there the other day, you caused all them problems. You set their fields on fire. You're just creating problems. See, the anointing will always create problems. Oh, hallelujah, you like that. The anointing will always stir things up. Why? Because it's coming against the spiritual kingdom. If you're not, wasn't it the Philippians that said, if you're not making people mad or glad, God's not speaking by it. It's got to be doing something. It's either going to make you feel good or it's going to make you feel bad, or it'll do something. You'll either hate the man's guts or you'll love him. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. It's a Samson. We kind of got used to this now. We can have church, we can have our synagogue every Sunday or whatever it is. We can go down there, we can talk about those things. We can even read from the Bible. We can read our scrolls and we can talk about the great promises of God that's coming. We can talk about the great things God has done. You know what? You're causing too much trouble now. That's the one Satan's against.
Amen.
That's the one Satan's trying to stop. He said, you know what? Samson would come to bind you. Oh, that's pitiful. That is pitiful. That a man that God is raising up to deliver his people from the power of the enemy. He said, you know what, Samson? We've come to bind you. We've come to bind the anointing. It's still doing it today. It's still doing it today. Samson said, that's okay, you can do that, boys, but tell me something. Don't you fall on them yourself. Samson wasn't worried about himself, he was worried about them. Because he knew what that anointing could do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said, don't you fall on me, boys. He said, hey, you can tie me, but don't you touch me. They came and said, that's okay, Samson, we're going to bind you, we're going to give you over to those Philistines. Hallelujah. Oh, I like the story of Samson. I like the story of Samson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul in the book of Hebrews said, right in the book of Hebrews, right for all those great heroes of faith and so forth, got to the place, he said, when he said, what of Samson? Hallelujah! I like to think about Samson. I like to talk about Samson. Hallelujah. We can look and we can see faults and pains and mistakes and backslidings. But he had a faith in God.
Amen.
He had a faith in God that shook kingdoms.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They said, no, Samson, we won't go harm you, but we'll give you one of those Philistines. They got him turned over to them Philistines, and they bound him there, brought him down to a place called Ramath Lehi. Blessed be the Lord's name. You know what? I dealt with a mistake. The Spirit of God is not intimidated. The Spirit of God isn't bullied. The Spirit of God is not humiliated. They got him down there, and the Bible says the Philistines shouted.
Yes.
Shouted! Well, Samson didn't look for cover. He didn't run and hide behind the rock. He didn't say, oh, I surrender, I give in. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Samson didn't see a giant. There were 1,000 Philistines. He wasn't looking at a giant. He wasn't looking at 1,000 Philistines. He was looking at an enemy defying God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the anointing will all see an enemy. Religion will see a giant. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says he slayed 1,000 with a jawbone.
Amen.
Lord! You know, it wasn't about that jawbone. It was about Samson. Samson, you were anointed. Pick up what you want. What's near you? Pick it up. You say, I haven't got anything. I'm beaten. I'm weak. Pick up what you've got.
Yeah.
You might have a little bit of faith. Pick it up.
Amen.
You might have a little scripture verse. Pick it up.
Amen.
You might have a little prayer. Pick it up.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pick it up. God said, Moses, I'm sending you down to Egypt. He said, I got nothing. He said, what's that on your, what's that in your hand? I said, he said, pick it up. Hallelujah, pick it up. What you got, my brother, what you got? I said, pick it up. He said, I've been a Christian very long. I just said the Lord's Prayer. I just accepted Jesus in my heart. Pick it up. I can just say, hallelujah, pick it up. I can just say, praise the Lord, pick it up. Take what you've got and go to work.
Amen.
Don't you see a giant? You see now. That enemy comes into your home, into your family. Try to break your home, but you say, oh God, how do I get out of this? What are people going to say? What are people going to think? You're a child of God. Pick it up.
Amen.
Pick it up. Satan, you aren't touching my family. You're not touching that child. You're not touching that son. You're not touching that daughter. That woman's sick. Take your hands off. Sure, you're there. But you're bread. You're bread. What you got, pick it up. Scientifically, intellectually, you couldn't beat those Philistines without old jawbone. Don't worry, God will take care of it. Just pick it up. Pick it up by faith. Take the promise of God by faith. God will put the unction on it. God will put the quickening power on it. Hallelujah. Let me close with saying this. There was a time in the days of Noah, just like it is today, when there was a great big giant. The giant of intellect, the giant of intelligence, The giant of reason. That's the biggest giant there is. That's the giant that's defying the Church of Jesus Christ today. Never was a day, never was a time like this day when the church is being assailed by the giant of reason, by the giant of intelligence, as it was in the days of Noah. He was a giant. I might have heard a voice speak to him.
Amen.
He believed that voice was the voice of God. He believed that. Now reason said, no, you're crazy, you're nuts. That's not true. Intelligence is impossible. You're like a schizophrenic. You got something wrong with you. You need to be examined. But he believed that was the voice of God. Hallelujah. No matter what reason said, what reason called, what intelligence said, what God said. Noah believed that was God. Noah didn't see a giant. He saw an enemy. And today in the church, I see so much crazy stuff, so much nonsense. Well, you've almost got to be a rocket scientist to get your head around it and to figure it out. Oh, I need to have this, I need to receive this. And they're beating their brains out to try and get a revelation. You've got to beat your brains out to get a revelation, a solid revelation of God. God reveals himself to the heart. But it's the same giant of reason. That same giant's here this morning. It's telling you, you know what? It's impossible. There's no way for it. You're going to have it. And if you want it, you're going to have it. If you want to see a giant will see it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to see a giant. You can see an enemy.
Amen.
I'm here today to tell you that it's not a giant anymore. It's an enemy defying the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Boy, so reassures you. He's a beaten enemy. He's defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The anointing will see an enemy. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's in you. The Spirit of God is in me. It doesn't see a giant. It sees an enemy defying the Church of Jesus Christ. Now religion will see a giant. Reason will see a giant. But the Holy Ghost will see an enemy defying the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's pray, friends. Sorry I kept you a little bit long there. I'll make up for it tonight. I'll go a little bit short. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. What are you seeing today, church? What are you seeing? Are you seeing a giant? Or are you seeing an enemy? If you're seeing a giant today, just say, God, I want you, Lord. I need to repent. I need to turn. I want for your forgiveness. I want your cleansing. Lord, I've been looking at a giant. I can't defeat him. But Lord, right now, I want to look away from that giant and see an enemy defying my home, my family, my church, my life, my body. It's bread. That thing that said, Lord, I'm going to take it, I'm going to eat it, I'm going to grow, and I'm going to get strong. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive me, Lord, if I've said anything wrong or hurt anyone's feelings. I wouldn't mean to do that. But take these words which have been spoken today. Quicken to the hearts of your children, to the hearts of your people. Oh God, let them see an enemy, Lord, not a giant. Let them see an enemy, Lord, defying the Church of Jesus Christ. Defying them, Lord. Let them see that, Lord. That, Lord, let's not rebel in our hearts, but believe God. Believe your promise, believe your word. In Jesus' name, I commit what has been said and what has been spoken into your hands, Father. Take it to the hearts of the people, Lord. And may it be given as the way it was delivered, as I tried to give it, Father.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Lord, it takes, Lord, a man can speak, but the Holy Ghost has to quicken the word. I pray this morning that, Lord, in some heart, you've done that. Somehow, some way, you've just done that, Lord. That, Lord, you've touched the heart today. Maybe just one, Lord, I don't know, but Lord, somehow you've touched the heart today. In Jesus' name. Lord, I commit all things into your hands in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's sing a hymn, shall we? Anybody have a hymn or a chorus they'd like to sing, really want to sing? Nobody? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What shall we sing? What's that?
Jesus.
Oh, that's a beautiful one. Let's sing that, brother.
Jesus.
Oh,
just for Jesus is passing that way.
361.
It's a 361, the redemption hymn. It's a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Amen. Amen. If you want prayer today, I invite you to come out and pray with you. You don't have to come. You can say right where you're at. You can make your decision. You can make the choice. You can make the consecration right where you're sitting. But if you feel it would be good, I can pray with you, or Brother Tommy or myself or anyone else to pray with you, we're happy to do that. Maybe there's a giant in your life that you just don't see to be able to get the victory over. And it is a giant. Today we can pray and just unite with you in prayer and say, Lord, we want to pray that giant's nothing more than a defeated enemy in the life of that person. In the mind of that person, in the spirit of that person. We'll be happy to pray with you. Praise the Lord. Now let's think about this. Let's just worship the Lord as we sing now. Let's have your hearts and minds in concentration upon the Lord now. The message has been given, it's over, it's gone. It can never come back. But let's just now worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't be good at starting this one.